Welcome back to Sleepy Later.
Oh, we're recording.
Once again, it's been a week. You have been around the world.
Yeah, I just flew back in from Milan last night.
Casually, he says.
I know. Sorry. I know how that sounds, but it's the facts are facts.
It's true. That did happen. That did occur. Why were you in Milan, Tynan?
Well, I didn't mention it on the show because you know how these things go. They can fall through at any moment. But Bulgari flew me to Milan for a launch of their new fragrance, Rain Essence. And I extended my trip a couple days to fuck around on my own. Yeah. And it was great. I mean, part of me is like, you're going to Miami this week. Maybe we should just do like a catch up episode.
I know.
But like, I don't know that we should like smell you later on the world. But it was lovely. It was my first time in Milan. I've only been to Italy one other time. I was in Bologna for another press trip a few years back. And I mean, Milan was Milaning. They put me up in the Bulgari Hotel for the first part of the trip, which was obviously amazing. I had a lot of free time, which is great. Those are sort of like the best kind of press trips. So I got there. I went to Fondazione Prada, which is this huge modern art museum, which is like really fantastic and a really great way to start the trip.
Oh, was that the mushroom room?
The mushroom room, the Jeff Koons. They had this big Damien Hirst floor. They had this gigantic, gigantic black canvas called The Last Judgment, which I like, sign me up to that like biblical book of Revelation shit. But it was all just flies and resin and then painted black. It was like,
ooh, that's ominous.
Ominous vibes. And then that night we went to a concert at Teatro La Scala. That was great. And then the next morning, we did interviews with Amandine, who is a perfumer on the scent, and then Alberto Marias, who is like the OG, like the father of scent. It was
CK1.
Really
one.
Exactly. CK1. What else has he done? There's like, I mean, he's done like
Cool Water.
He did Acqua di Gio. He just did everything. So it was really fascinating and sort of just surreal to talk to him, honestly.
He's a character.
He's a character, totally. I mean, then I just sort of like ran around. I like did a little shopping. I went to this like furniture gallery, went to the Duomo. I got hit really hard by jet lag. but it was great. I mean, Milan's Milan. It's stunning. And I was really happy to be there. It was like once in a lifetime vibes. I don't know. I'm really happy. But I'm also like low-key happy to, not happy to be back, but like 4 days there, essentially being alone the entire time. Yeah. Like I love being alone. I love traveling alone. Like, don't get me wrong. But by day four, I was like, damn, bitch, can I share this with someone? Like,
that's how I feel about traveling alone, is that like I would do it all the time, but then I'm like, ah, I wish there was someone here to like be like, look at this cool thing, or like,
yeah, no, totally. It was like the whole time I was like, I wish Sable was here, like my boyfriend is here, or my mom was here, but it was just me. But you know what, like if that's the biggest issue I had, that's, you know, not an issue at all. It was really, really great.
Did you have any, every time I go on a press trip, I feel like I always find like one person that we just like gravitate towards each other. And I'm like, you're going to be my best friend for this trip.
Okay. Yes. Yes, I did. But it was funny. I was just saying that the first time I saw anyone was when we got to the concert. So like, I didn't know who was with the brand, who was a journalist. And the press trip was also very small. And I was the only editor from the US. So I didn't recognize anyone. And I didn't know who was who. And I do love when they like get you somewhere and just like let you do your own thing. But I would have loved like me talking shit on Bulgari. I would have loved like a quick like welcome cocktail. Just be like, these are the journalists. These are the, you know, we didn't have that.
A little mingling. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. I did make a girlfriend from Spain, which is cute. But we just basically hung out at the events and we didn't do anything around town. But whatever, it was fine. It was really, really great. I'm still sort of like in shock that that all just happened.
It was
great.
So quick. Wow.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was 4 days. But yeah, I think like given a fifth day, I don't, again, like the being on my own of it all, I was just like not ready to come home. But
you're like, what else am I going to fucking do?
Yeah. And it was great. I was like super, super. I'm super happy, super lucky. Yeah. Happy it worked out. I don't know.
Smell you later in Italy. We got to make this happen.
We will. We're going to have Bulgari on the show, I believe. It was cool because like talking to Amandine, she told me that they're not owned by anyone. So they, I mean, they're such a big, one, a big brand, and two, like a fragrance counter brand. But what they say goes in terms of whatever they want to put out, which I think sort of like recontextualized it for me a little bit and like made it cooler. So like, you know, they're not answering to Coty or anyone else. They're just sort of like here. And also, they don't ever look at the price of the materials when they're formulating. They just sort of formulate and then whatever they put out they put out. And like, I'm sure that is like, okay, to a point.
They love to say that.
Right. But yeah, it was really cool. And also, okay, so between us girls, I knew I was going out there for this man scent. I was like, okay, cool. Like, hooray. And they couldn't get it to me until the night before I flew out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck, like, if I don't like this scent, I can just do a piece on it that's like, this is out. Here are some quotes.
Yeah.
But I really do like it, actually. It's a rain scent. But it's actually really lovely. So
it sounds
I smelled it. It is nice. And I smelled it and I was like, okay, this is a relief. Like, I don't have to like tiptoe around this shitty scent. It's actually very nice. So
you're like, so, yeah, cool. Glad this isn't shit.
No, actually, I was like, if this smells like Axe, we're all up a street. But no, it was good. There was tons of food. I was like, nice. Sable is really missing out.
Dude, the last time I was in Italy, it was 2006. It was the year that Italy won the World Cup.
Oh,
I have never seen so many grown men weeping in my life. I was there for 5 weeks in the south of Italy, like, quote unquote, studying abroad.
Yeah.
And I definitely gained like 15 to 20 pounds just because every single day I was eating like prosciutto, mozzarella, gelato, pasta, like
literally
every day. How I hadn't had a culinary is beyond me, but
I haven't had a vegetable since Monday.
Yeah. No vegetables in Italy.
And I got back last night and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to have a healthy meal. I had a steak. So like, I'm like not doing well. It was funny. I went to this cafe, I think it was called Cafe Luce, but it was designed by Wes Anderson randomly. But
oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's all pastel
vibes.
That's
in Milan? Mm-hmm. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that, but that's beautiful.
And they had this whole bank of croissants and I was like, she's here.
My God. Oh my God. Would be in Milan, wouldn't it? Wes really? Anderson.
How was your week? Did I miss anything?
Well, I have to put myself in writing jail for the next 6 weeks. Of course, the week that I say yes to all these projects because I'm poor, my editor's like, by the way, we need all your rewrites by mid-April.
Fuck.
I was like, cool. So you could have told me this 2 months ago, but you chose now to tell me that I must rewrite this book in 5 weeks. So that's basically going to be my life until April. I am in writing jail.
It's good to have a deadline, though. I'm sure it would sort of, not to speak for you, but like feel the same no matter what the timeline was, you know?
But I think I definitely would have used my time a little bit more wisely in the last 4 weeks had I known it was like mid-April.
Sure.
And I definitely would have turned down some projects because they're like big projects.
Well, you can push them out. Like, that's fine. You have a say in it, too.
Yeah, but if I push it back, the publication gets pushed back. And because things are scheduled so far in advance, it could be like, oh, I can get these to you in June.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, then it's publishing 2026. And I'd be like, oh, never
mind. Is it print?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the book.
No.
Oh, no. The other shit is like, it's like a branding copy strategy, blah, blah, blah. Like, shit. Like,
for who? We'll cut it out.
So I'm like, fuck. I really got myself into it this time.
It's one of those things, though, that like, I feel like those projects are often like such a looming black cloud before you start them, and then when you do, it's like, oh, this is fine.
Yeah. Like once I get into it, I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty easy. But it's like, totally. I'm just like annoyed because I'm like, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this like huge big thing. And like, I'm like rereading my first draft manuscript, and I'm like, oh no, no. We have to get to work.
We've got some work to
do. And I also booked like a little trip to Miami this next week. Before I knew the deadline, so I was like, well, fuck. Yeah. Which is actually kind of nice. I'm glad I did that. So.
Where are you staying?
Some Airbnb. It's just a couple days. My friends were going to Florida, and then me being annoying, I was like, I'll meet you there. They're like, sick. And I was like, okay.
I love that.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm coming too.
Yeah, basically that. I was like, oh, you're going on a couple's vacation? I'm coming too.
I'm a couple.
Yeah. That's funny. Need a third wheel? I'm there. Love to be the tricycle.
Right. Wait. We haven't talked about our dinner a few weeks back, have we?
No, we have not.
So after 2.5 years of saying fuck Carbone on this podcast, go literally anywhere else in New York, Sable and I got invited to Carbone by a perfume brand, an RSVP that we immediately sent through.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
It didn't like blow my mind, the food, but it was very good.
It was very good, but it's Italian food, New York City. Like this could be anywhere, you know what I mean? Like, but I had to laugh. I had to scream.
There was a lot of screaming in that room.
There was a lot of screaming that way. I'm like, quiet down, girls.
It's like a tile room and everyone's just like shouting.
Also, it was like, it was the private room, which is like the size of a bathroom. I was like, quite all small. Right.
Yeah.
It was quite small. But
I was like, okay, I'm glad I experienced this. And The perfume brand was really cool, very expensive. I was like, so you're expensive. What's that like?
I am. A beauty editor that shall remain unnamed was DM'd me, I think like the day after. She's like, do you like them? And I was like, yeah. Like, sure. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Like, but what is the point?
That's,
I don't know.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
It's just like, you had money and were bored.
I feel like the deeper we get into fragrance, the more we realize it's just people with money who are bored.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like,
when will it be my turn?
Well, it's like, I can say that, but like, you know, a brand is a brand. Fuck them all. These brands are your friends. But like, there was something about this one specifically. I'm like, okay, but like, what else is there? Like, why? You know, I don't know. There's nothing to like sink my teeth into.
I think this will only happen more frequently.
Totally.
Especially now that fragrance is like a thing. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the next 5 years of like, cool, so you're expensive. What else?
Yeah, right.
Great.
So Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
I was going to say, speaking of expensive, this new Hermes fragrance just landed on my doorstep. It's called, I'm going to fuck this up, Asinter. You can't
Is
see
this
it.
The pistachio one?
Yes.
Is this the gold bottle?
Yes. So
I love that they got me on a call about this fragrance and sent it to everyone I know but me. Way to waste the fuck out of my time.
I had to ask twice, to be fair.
Jesus Christ. Well, I don't even want it. It smells like soap.
It does smell like soap. I also had to be like, sure, I'll pitch this.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I love the Hermes Jourdain scents. I always have.
I think too.
I've spoken about a Jourdain on the Lagoon one. I have that one, which I love. I would love the Nile one if you would send it to me. Anyway, this is the new one. And what grabbed me from it is that they said pistachio was one of the top notes. And I was like, we are in the era of pistachio. So
we are in the era of pistachio.
Yes. And this whole thing, the whole ethos around this scent is it's meant to be, as the box reads, the expression of an olfactory quest through the Peloponnese Peninsula that leads to Kythira, an unspoilt Greek island which has inspired many artists, a sun-drenched fragrance in which the scent of golden grass mingles with the strength of olive wood and the tenderness of fresh pistachio. Which is like interesting to me.
Yeah.
And it smells lovely. And I'm trying to clock the pistachio-ness, and it's very subtle, but there is like, it's like a texture. It's like the nutty texture of pistachio, but otherwise it does smell very yellow and bright and zesty. I get more sun-drenched than I get like olive wood. Like this to me, if I'd smelled it blind, I would have been like, okay, this is like a very citrusy, zesty, summery
totally.
Scent. Yeah. And it's beautiful. I wish it was a little bit more pistachio, but also, what do I know?
Well, that's one of those notes. When they got me on this call, they were like, it has pistachio in it, but it's not Dies and Durga. I was like, okay, I didn't ask. But
nor
like,
would it ever be. But like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. But it's one of those things that I'm like, but where is it? You know? Like,
yeah, yeah. That's why I'm like, it's textural, it's hidden. It's like when you go to a party and you're like, so and so is here somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, well, that. It's like, okay.
It's like, why put it? I mean, this respect to the brand, I guess, but like this could be any fragrance in the collection. So why put it in if you're not going to pull it out? And I'm not asking for it to be a boozy, nutty, whatever, but I'm like, is it in there or not? I don't know. I'm tired.
If they didn't tell me it was in it, I would not have clocked it. So
right.
Part of me is almost like, am I inventing things in my brain? Because now,
totally,
you know, like once you get told something, you have a bias towards it.
Right. Perhaps. Do I have Munchausen's?
Exactly. Pistachio Munchausen.
Literally.
Pistachio Munchausen syndrome. That's what this
name of the episode.
Yeah. But otherwise, it is a beautiful scent. I feel like the uniting factor with all these Hermes like Jardin scents is like they're always like kind of gauzy and translucent and ethereal. And like they just smell very rich.
Yeah. So, yes,
yeah,
exactly.
They smell very rich. So
like rich and nondescript.
Yes. Which is like the richest people are the most nondescript.
Yeah, goals.
Goals. I wish to be so rich, people don't know I'm rich.
Literally, I wish to have no defining qualities.
Yeah. I saw this tweet that was like, you shouldn't have to be anyone. I was like,
that's,
you know,
such
what?
A you tweet.
I shouldn't. Thank you. I feel validated.
That's so funny.
Tying in, what do you smell like today?
So there is this newer brand, new-ish, called Perfume Head.
Ah.
And they, when they launched, they sent Sable and I think, no, not the same fragrance, but they sent us. They launched with X-Straits in these bottles that look like decanters, and they're blotters, which I think is kind of a choice because, like, it's a good sized bottle, but there's not an atomizer. You just
it's
have to
just
take
like an empty, like an open bottle.
Forgive me for saying this word, but it's an orifice. Like, that's what, you know, it's just a hole.
Yeah.
Which
it's
is
just
that,
a hole.
That's the actual name for it. I'm not saying orifice to be gross. Like, that's
I know, but that's what I was thinking too. And I was like, how do I explain this? But thank you for just saying.
Yeah.
Just a hole.
And like, it is a choice because, like, that's an X-Straight and it's a big hole. And it's like, you're playing with fire there.
I know.
Like, I get a blotter bottle, but it's like, I don't know. Anyway, they launched. This other launch also says X-Straight Day
Parfum. They're all X-Straights. I believe they are all X-Straights.
But they told me at the dinner that they were, I don't know. Anyway, their second launch has actual atomizers and they're launching different components between different retailers, which is quite the choice. But anyway, they sent me twice now a fragrance called Room Number, which I like. It's fine.
Wait, so you got the big bottle of Room Number and now you have the atomizer of Room Number?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because they sent me the big bottle of Canadian Tuxedo and then I took home.
Are you serious?
Do you want it? I'm never going to
wear
it.
Yes.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Okay, because I'm wearing Canadian Tuxedo.
Oh, okay, 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 okay.
Wait, hold on. If you just saw my ass crack, I'm sorry. Yeah, so we were at the dinner and the PR girl I sat next to, she got that one and I smelled it and I was like, okay, that's really beautiful. I mean, like, Room Number is very pretty. It's just like, it's not very me. So I asked for a bottle of that and they sent me a Discovery set, which fine. So I think this is really gorgeous. And I'm not saying this as a slight, but it smells just like something else.
Yes.
I don't know.
No, you're completely right.
I mean, okay, good. It's a spicy amber, which, you know, I love. That's really all
I would not have called it that, but okay.
I do think it may have, I don't know. Anyway, I'll be interested to smell your bottle because that's not the way you described it to me either. But
yeah,
I mean, like, just, I could read the notes, but like, think of a spicy amber and use your imagination. It's just sort of that. I really love it. I sprayed it on last night before I went out for dinner and it just does give me this like big golden amber bomb with this undercurrent that pulls up really nicely of spice. And I mean, it's pretty complex. It wears really beautifully. It's sensual and just lovely. I mean, it's not exactly doing anything new. And I do think that you can get essentially this fragrance from other brands for a better price point, even at a luxury price point, because these motherfuckers are expensive.
How expensive are they?
So I'm bringing them up because I'm also trying to differentiate the formulas. So the fucking atomizer bottle is $425 for 1.7. Oh, and the decanter, the blotter is, oh wait, did I just say the same thing? Yeah, they're both $425. Oh, and I guess they both are X-Straights. They told me at the dinner that they weren't.
Really? All the bottles said X-Straight on them.
I know. Okay, I'm confused now.
Which is interesting because I have the Room Number scent, which is like, again, it's nice, but it's definitely something I've smelled before.
Uh-huh.
And I was wearing it a little bit after we got them and it kind of like faded by midday. And I was like, I thought this wasn't X-Straight.
I agree with you. I wore my
But it could have just been like the nature of that type of scent because it is very like transparent and woody and suede-y. I don't know.
I don't think so because it faded on me too. And X-Straights should not fade. This wears better though, I will say.
Okay. Maybe it's just the nature of the scent.
Right, right. You know, anyways.
I love the branding. I love the design of the bottles and like the illustrations. I love that. But again, I'm like,
okay, they gave us like a little, what would you call that? Like a, not a catalog, not a fly. It's just sort of like a little like brand book.
Booklet. Yeah.
A booklet.
Literature.
It's really, really beautiful. Like, it is. You're right. Yeah. They have a different, I don't think on bottle, but on carton, they have a different type treatment for every scent. The little booklet was sort of like a mood board. And that really was, if they got one thing right, it was the visuals because it is really, really stunning and really impressive. And that's like, again, it's branding, who cares? But I guess like it is part of the experience and they really nailed it. So
I love the bottles, how the bottles are carved with like the little logo that's like embossed and they have like the little orb caps. I love that.
Do they?
The atomizer bottles. Like if you look at the back of the bottle and it has the logo embossed on it.
You're right.
Yeah. Which is clever. And like, you know, that shit's expensive to do custom molds, but
yeah.
And I like the name Perfume Head. I think it's funny.
It is cute. So speaking of beautiful branding.
Speaking of.
Today we have a guest on the show who we have been thinking about having on for a really long time. Yeah. And more
you
so.
You have been like obsessed with them for ages.
Low-key have.
You always post about them.
Do I?
I feel like you post about them a lot when you do your little like home, like a little, you know, nook corner, yeah. There's always a candle.
Well, me hating candles, I have three of them around my place, and I had more of them. And I don't know why we didn't get here sooner, but they reached out to us in the fall, and we were sort of thinking about it.
I think because we were just like, okay, so you do a candle. Cool. What else? Yeah. And now we have a what else?
Now we have a reason. So today we have Carol Hompile from Net on the show. Sable, and actually, you are quite a big fan of the brand too.
I like their stuff. I love
us just accusing each other of being fans.
Yeah, you're a fan. No, you're a fan. You like them more.
No, you have quite a bit of the candles around your place. And
they send out really good mailers.
They do send out
every time they send like a themed kit, it always comes with like something really cool. Like the chai milk one came with chai the powder. I don't know what we call it. But it's really good shit. It's like really fancy, nice stuff. When they sent the pearl dust one, which is one of my favorites, it came with this like really luxurious Lunya robe. So that was nice.
Oh, I didn't get pearl dust, but I want it because I love the name. I've been a fan of them really since they dropped, because they sent me one or two candles from the initial collection. And I really fell head over heels with one of them. I think it is safe to say my all-time favorite candle, Another Life. And we'll get into why during the episode, but not to say it's just another candle brand, because it's not. They do what they do really well. The scents are gorgeous. The components are gorgeous. The branding, the copy around it, I think it's all very considered and very nicely done. And there's a lot of care taken, I think, which if you're going to launch a brand these days, like it has to, like all those pieces have to be there and in conversation with each other. And I think Net really nails it.
Yeah, they're, I don't know, just like the feel of them in your hands and even the texture of the paper and the box, it just feels very, very well considered. And I remember going to a dinner when they launched the Magician candle, and it was like a really fun dinner at Nine Orchard.
Yes, I couldn't go.
I know, it was so fun. And then I fucking gave that candle to a dumb boy who didn't deserve it. And now I'm mad.
This podcast is exclusively about how you shouldn't give scents to boys. Like, it's not even, we're not even a fragrance podcast anymore. We're just a podcast about not giving scents to boyfriends.
I was trying to be nice and it backfired.
Well,
but you know what? That's fine. May he remember me as the generous candle giver. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But also rotten hell. But also, no, I'm kidding. Also, never talk to me again.
I feel like that's a great kickoff. So how about we just get into it?
Yeah, I think so. We think we should.
I'm Carol Hompile. I'm the founder of Net. As an introduction, my background was really focused in editorial. So I was a fashion and beauty editor at publications like Elle and Elle.com for several years. I then started a social media agency, which I'm still running now, almost 13 years later, that really focuses on helping brands grow their presence online. So, you know, we work with really amazing brands like the Peninsula Hotels, Rosewood Hotels, lots of beauty brands, Edition, Shopbop. And I started Net in December of 2020. So a little bit over 2 years now, which is so crazy. There were a few different reasons I really felt the need to start the brand. I was getting really into the clean beauty movement at that time. And, you know, I had a few friends and peers launching their own really wildly successful brands at the time. So I was really learning a lot from them and their brands about clean in general. And I found myself just cleaning out my beauty cabinet and trying to replace everything with better products that were, you know, transparent, founder-led, clean, sustainable, all of those table stakes elements at this point. So at the time, I was also trying to get pregnant. So I was being super conscious of the products that I was using. And when I turned my attention to candles, which I've always loved, my mom was actually a candle maker in Sausalito when I was growing up. She had this little candle shop on the water, and some of my very first memories literally are of that candle store and all of the fragrances, and it always smelled amazing in there. But when I turned my attention to candles, I really couldn't find anything that fit what I was looking for. You know, on the one hand, I had all of these amazing, like iconic luxury brands like Diptyque and Byredo and Le Labo. But when I took a deep dive into them, oftentimes I really just could not figure out what was in them. You know, their practices were really obscure, mysterious. Some of them were just using blatantly like 100% paraffin wax, which, not great. And then on the other side of the token, I was really finding these really sort of like crunchy granola esque brands that were just kind of unappealing to me and, you know, not well branded. I love branding and just not brands that I was really inspired to purchase and have around my house. So I thought that there had to be a way to bridge that gap and create something that could ultimately become like a, you know, uber luxury, super iconic household name brand that also did everything the right way in terms of sustainability and clean and, you know, really did in that conversation.
Amazing. Wow. So there's a lot.
Sorry, that was a very long-winded answer to introduce yourself.
No, it's fine. I feel like elevator pitches are either like always super short or very long, and I never know which one to give, you know what I mean? So Carol, we start off every episode by asking, what do you smell like today?
Oh, so right now I'm wearing a fragrance called Te Vini, which is launching on the 21st. It's part of our launch collection of perfumes, and it smells amazing. It's really like the best vanilla fragrance that I've ever smelled. I don't generally go for vanilla because I find it a little bit basic sometimes, like a little bit too sweet, cloying. So we really focused in on creating a vanilla that was much more sophisticated. So our Te Vini fragrance has this really beautiful like mineral note of matcha tea. So it has like the astringency of the tea note really cuts out that cloying sweetness that vanilla tends to have, which makes it just gorgeous. And it has some woods in there. So it's really like a really well-balanced vanilla.
I love that. That sounds like a like perfect combination of what Sable and I both really love, like vanilla.
Which ones do you wear?
I am all about everything sweet and specifically vanilla. Okay. So,
amazing. I can't wait for you to smell Te Vini.
Yeah. I'm coming around, but I usually go for things that are like kind of like spicy or I don't know, earthy.
Okay.
Like a little, I don't know. I like things that smell a bit off.
Okay. I love that. You might like La Forêt from our launch collection in that case.
As in like forest.
Yeah, it's really woodsy, but it's kind of like a clean, minimalistic wood.
I love any foresty, piney, earthy stuff.
Yeah, Sable, like she said, really likes, she likes very like left of center fragrances, as we both do. But I feel like I just always want to smell like a cupcake.
Yeah,
I think it's interesting how like so many brands now, new brands or existing ones, they're launching vanillas now in like a very different take on vanilla. And a lot of them share the same sentiment of like, vanilla's not really my thing, or like, I don't really love sweet things. And then they'll like have a vanilla centric scent. And it's always interesting to me that I'm like, you could have done anything else, but like you're doing this one thing with the thing you don't like. It is really funny and it's really interesting because I think, again, like initially when I got into fragrance, did not gravitate towards gourmands or like desserty type stuff. And then now that there's so much more out there, I'm like, well, there's like kind of one for anybody. It doesn't matter if you're not into something, you can find one that you will like.
It's true. And I think that brands do that with vanilla fragrances sometimes because vanilla is such a universally loved ingredient. People just love vanilla and it's, you know, it's commercially loved. So I think that perhaps brands sometimes feel a pressure to create something using that ingredient because it is such a runaway success. It's one of the most popular fragrance notes in fragrance. So That's probably why, but it can be like such a gorgeous ingredient to work with. Our vanilla is really special, so I'm excited for you to smell it and see if you like it.
Yeah, I'm glad that people are like finally experimenting with vanilla.
Yeah, get over it. Vanilla's So, you know, I feel like Net is quickly becoming a household name in terms of, you know, fragrances, but for a listener that might not be familiar, do you just want to give a quick overview, as quick as, you know, your overview of your own brand can be, about your brand and what makes it different?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, again, we launched 2 years ago, and really the mission of our brand from the beginning has been to help our community and our consumers take good care. You know, we trademarked that phrase, take good care, because it is such a foundation of our brand mission. Through products that are really best in class, super thoughtfully made, products that they can really like relax into and feel safe in. Because, you know, I think that, you know, I love fragrance, but when I started kind of diving into candles, like I mentioned before, I was really a little bit nervous, especially since I was trying to get pregnant and I was on this whole IVF journey, and it was challenging. And I just wanted to make sure that I was doing everything in my power to surround myself with products that were good for me and wouldn't hinder my endeavors to get pregnant, have a healthy pregnancy, and just my health in general. So I found it really difficult because fragrance was such a huge part of my life. And I, of the five senses, I think fragrance is really just like so evocative of like nostalgia and emotion and memory. And it's really important to me. So I was disappointed that I wasn't really able to like feel totally relaxed with my fragrance rituals. And, you know, I really wanted to start the brand to change that for anyone who might be feeling a similar way. And, you know, I think another cornerstone of the brand is, you know, the slogan for our fragrance collection is fragrance you feel. So again, playing on that idea of fragrance as something so powerful to have an effect on emotion and, you know, really help people boost their confidence, their mindfulness, their relaxation, and take good care in that way as well.
Okay. I love that. And like fragrance wise, how do you think Nut is differentiated from, let's stick with candles for now, because that's where we've been at. How do you think your fragrances are different from that of what's on the market?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that from the beginning, our formulations have always been super perfumer led. So we use like truly like perfume worthy ingredients in all of the candles, which is, I think, unusual for candle brands. I remember talking to another candle brand founder kind of in the beginning, and she was like kind of freaking out over these oils that had been left open. It's a long story. But oils that had been left open at her manufacturer. And she was in, you know, she was just kind of venting to me. And she was like, you know, I use these like really expensive oils and they're like this much a pound. And I was like, oh my God, like our oils are twice as much as that. And, wow. You know, it's because like you could literally take the oils that we use in our candles and they could be very expensive perfumes that you use on your skin. Like, for example, Orris is known to be one of, if not the most expensive perfumery ingredient. And people would normally never use it in a candle fragrance, but it's in pearl dust. You know, we never really kind of let those sorts of definitions of what should be in a candle versus what should be in a fine perfume hinder us from using these gorgeous ingredients in our candles. So the quality of the fragrance oils is just really like above and beyond what the industry standard seems to be. Also, you know, the sustainability aspect, when I was first developing the brand, what bothered me about all of the market research that I was doing was that so many candle brands were like, oh, we're sustainable, you can reuse our vessels. And 9 times out of 10, these vessels were like 5-cent Libby vessels, mass manufactured, spray painted, and like whatever colors the brand wanted them to be, hence making it not food safe. And I was like, how many scrunchie holders or like, you know, tip holders can someone really have? It's not really that sustainable because the chances of someone wanting to have this like very cheap spray painted vessel around their house after their candle is done and bother going through this like, you know, sort of annoying process of cleaning it out and washing it and all that. I was like, there's no way that I would ever do that. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we really honed in on was the vessel. We really wanted to find a way to create vessels that were food safe, dishwasher safe, microwave safe, so that they could really be used as cups, drinking cups or coffee mugs after the candle was done. I found this like gorgeous, super expensive, like $150 like ceramic mug that I was like in love with at this really chic home store. And I was using it for so long. And I was like, I really want something like this. It fits so well in my hand. It was just, you know, a gorgeous experience drinking out of it. So that's really what we modeled our ceramic vessels off of. And they're really just easy to hold. They fit in your hand really well. They're really meant to be drinking cups. And they're all handmade, dishwasher safe, food safe, all of that. So
I love a cup.
Sable loves a cup. She's clapping.
So it can live like forever and you can like drink out of it. You can collect them. I find like, you know, drinking cups and coffee mugs, you can never really get too many of. So which one do you have?
Well, I mean, in my apartment right now, I have, I think, 3 Nut candles.
Oh, you have an OG glass vessel. So that one, unfortunately, is not dishwashers.
I have the pearl dust vessel because I finished that. And I was like, I keep all my candle vessels because I have like the guilt. They're like usually very beautiful. So I feel guilty throwing them away. And I like put them on a shelf and I'm like, one day I'll figure out what to do with you.
Now that you said
it can be a cup, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a cup. We're cupping that one.
I have to get you guys like restocks of everything. So let me know what scents you like.
Okay, wait, this leads perfectly into my next question. I have two of the ceramic ones and they are gorgeous, but I'm holding the OG because I want to ask you about the line of copy that's on each of your scents. And it's really unique. And this is really what made me like fall in love with the brand when you first launched. I'm holding Another Life right now. And the scent is like breathtaking. It's a very me scent. It's warm, it's spicy. It actually say, well, it smells like a lot like 1996. But
wait, which one is it?
Another Life. But the line of copy for the listener is like it's a sort of this like little poetic line that sort of contextualizes the fragrance. This one reads, "The quiet of early morning, vanilla cream swirled into coffee, fragments of last night's dreams, the faithlessness of memory, a theory of soulmates and second chances. If I'm right, I'll tell you in another life." I love that. I fucking love that. And when Gia sent this to me, like right when you launched, I was like, okay, like we're dealing with something completely different. So can you just tell us like about your approach to that line of copy, or like not that specifically, but why you have this little poetic moment on each candle and like how you get to each one and why you decided to do that?
Yeah. So that really ties right back into fragrance or emotion. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, all of our perfumes that are launching soon also have their own like poetic moments that are enameled onto the back of each glass bottle. And it's really just another way to evoke emotion in the user and to kind of translate the emotion behind the fragrance to the consumer and to the community, you know? So in that way, we really use both art and science to evoke emotion through our fragrances. And, you know, the art part is the sort of poetic moments and the science part is everything that our fragrance does behind the scenes to make sure that it's all, you know, scientifically legit.
Mm. Well, it's working, whatever it is. who writes those? Is it you?
I do.
Oh my God.
Woo! We have a poet. We have a poet.
It's one of my favorite parts. I think that I'm really like a frustrated writer at heart.
Well, now that you said that you came from editorial, I'm like, oh, of course this makes sense. Like,
yeah, I love writing. It's always been a dream to write a novel. It's always been a huge part of my life. So yeah, I think that it's just a way to use that skill.
I'm going to light this. Does the lighter on the mic make it sound like a Lil Wayne song?
Yeah.
Ooh, and also, like, these are so pretty that, like, I've been afraid to burn them. And Gia's always burn them. I'll send you another one.
Yes, you really just have to burn them all. You just have to do it.
Okay, fine.
It's just like a daily luxury that you should partake in.
I agree.
Okay, as Tynan's very selective about the candles in his home, he's, like, not a candle person. I am very much so a candle person. I have like always five different scents that I'm like, what will we burn tonight? And until this conversation, it never really occurred to me. I was just like, what am I burning exactly? Like, what is a clean candle? Like, I know clean beauty as, you know, a little bit amorphous as it is in this time, we have an understanding of like what allegedly is clean or what allegedly is not clean. But I don't really think people pay attention to like the clean aspect of candle. So can you explain a little bit what makes a candle clean?
Yeah. So there are a few different things. And I think, as you said, everyone's definition of clean is so different. And so it's a little bit of a weird time in like the clean beauty industry where people are trying to define it for themselves. But to us, you know, it's pretty simple. We use all natural waxes. So, you know, there's a very specific, very iconic candle brand that uses 100% paraffin wax still, which is a fossil fuel known to be harmful, especially when burned in a closed environment like an apartment or a home. So right away, that brand broke my heart, but was like the one to go when I was trying to get pregnant. And, you know, there are other ingredients like BHT is a preservative. Mm. And, you know, that is very sort of sketchy in terms of, is it harmful? Is it not? So we just decided to take it out of all of our candles. We actually reformulated several of our scents to make sure that they didn't include BHT and discarded which is so unsustainable, but we really felt strongly that we, you know, needed to do that, you know, just kind of discarded like a bank of fragrance oils that we had that were, you know, very precious to make sure that we weren't putting anything on the market that had BHT in it because it was not on Credo Beauty's, you know, list of allowed ingredients. And yeah, like phthalates are also, they're a solvent mm-hmm. used to extend the like sort of aromatic life of fragrance oils and candles and in perfumes. And some people say they're non-toxic when they're used only to a certain level, but it's like, what level is that? And are you sure? So we just don't use that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Cause I mean, Sable and I, from the start of this show, I feel like we started the show 2.5 years ago and clean beauty was like at its breaking point, and it was just starting to really be interrogated, I think, as it should be. We're both pretty skeptical of all of that. Mm-hmm. And I totally get both sides of it, but it's interesting to, you know, sort of finally hear someone nail down like what clean means in candles and what you're burning. Cause when it came to fragrances, I was like, you know, what the hell does any of this actually mean?
Totally, totally. And it can be so confusing and people have such wildly differing opinions. I think to us, clean is really just like doing our best with the knowledge that we have mm-hmm. to eliminate ingredients that are potentially toxins. Right.
Yeah.
And also I think like there's like, I don't know, there's a more ephemeral meaning of clean, and I don't want to be on blast for this because I feel like it sounds a little bit woo-woo, but I also think just like clean in terms of how you formulate the ingredients you choose, like how you run your business, like all of that also needs to be clean as well, you know, like on one hand, clean to us means eliminating things like BHT, phthalates, paraffin, and, you know, any other ingredient that could be potentially harmful to the point where I would feel completely safe. And I did feel completely safe burning all of our candles throughout my entire pregnancy. You know, at one point we had a dinner and there were like 50 candles burning in a very small room. And I was like totally fine with it. So, you know, that is definitely one element of clean, a very standard definition of clean that I think, you know, clean brands try to adhere to. But, you know, to us, I think we also want to be clean in terms of like using the absolute best ingredients available on the market, you know, as much as possible, knowing where each and every ingredient comes from, what farmer grew it, using upcycled ingredients whenever we can, you know, never skimping on that practice either.
Do you think that that was like a hard sell when you were launching?
A hard sell in terms of what?
Well, I mean, like in like the candle, I don't know how competitive like the candle market is, but I feel like when it comes, people have this like intrinsic threshold of like what they consider is like worth it for a candle. So you have your like Target candles that are $15. You have your Boy Smells, which are like $32 or $34. Yeah. And then you have like the Byredos, which are like $80. And then when you're a brand new luxury brand launching, it's like, how do you tell people like this is worth however much?
Totally. Yeah, for sure. That's such a good question. Yeah. I definitely think that there's a bit of a barrier. You know, I think mm-hmm. that if we had launched at the $32 price point, first year sales would definitely have been probably like double or triple what they were. But it takes time for people to really learn about the brand and be exposed to it a few different times to really mm-hmm. like learn all of the touch points that you're trying to communicate. And that was okay with me. You know, when I was developing the brand, I really did like intend to enter at the $32 price point, $34. That's what I wanted. And I tried really, really hard to get there, but I just couldn't. It was like the first sort of round of candles, like the $32 price point, that was like how much it was costing us mm-hmm. to make. It was, you know, our net product is still like ridiculously expensive to make. For example, our vessels are like, you know, I don't want to say the exact number, but they're so expensive terms of a
candle. And they feel it too. Like it feels very weighty. It feels like a luxury product when you hold it in your hand. So that's why I was like, oh, when someone gets it in their hands and then they can smell it, they're like, this makes sense. But especially like, because we live in an e-com world, you just like see a stock image and you're like, why is this much?
Totally. And that's like a question that we get so often, and we do our best to answer it super, super thoroughly and to communicate all of the different elements of what goes into the candle and what makes it special on social and in all of our press messaging. But you're right that it can be a hard sell because it's like a little bit of a barrier and people have mm-hmm. to kind of be familiar with the brand and understand it And again, that was okay with me. There was just no way that we would have been able to launch at a lower price point than we did.
And then like, I'm trying to think of it in the moment. And I'm like, I actually can't think of any other candle brands that are clean and luxury at the same time. Like all of the other ones are like cool candles, but like they're not necessarily, like they're cool brands and they have great scents, but they're not necessarily taking into account the clean aspect of it or the
at least they're not talking about it.
I also really like how you said, you know, clean also factors into the way that you run your business. Mm-hmm. Just not to be like too inside baseball about it, but like right now with how every new brand and every brand needs to have a philanthropic aspect to really launch and resonate with Gen Z, which of course is great. It's like, you know, that can be as public facing as you want it, but how are you treating the people who are working for you? Because Sable and I have been brand side both, you know, full time and freelance and everything. And it's like, that's not always a story internally. Yeah. So that's, I'm going to be thinking about that for a while, actually.
It's true.
Yeah. I think that our brand name Net is French and it loosely translates to clean, direct, frank. And we really wanted that to be part of our brand DNA, you know, this concept of like speaking straight, like we wanted to be direct, transparent, clean in our words and actions as a as a brand and really have that integrity.
So in terms of the scents themselves, both your core and your, you know, seasonal launches, your limiteds, like are they all, how do you develop each collection and are they all sort of in conversation with each other? Like, do they all come from the same universe and have the same narrative? Does that through line matter to you? Just tell me about a little bit about how you approach the scents themselves and creating this net world.
Yeah. So the scent development is my very favorite part of it. And it's really such a collaborative effort between myself and the perfumers that are with IFF. IFF is our fragrance house and they house some of like the most amazing, iconic, like rock star perfumers working today. So it always starts with a conversation with the perfumers that we are working with on each new development. And a lot of things go into consideration. So, you know, when do we want to launch this scent? You know, what's missing from the Net universe right now that we want to bring in? What's a scent that our consumers really love in the Net universe currently? And is there a way to take that scent and distill it into something completely different and unique, but that's still kind of reminiscent of that sort of theme? So, for example, Chai Milk is one of our bestsellers. Sunday Chess is one of our bestsellers. I think that people tend to like a gourmand scent and, you know, a scent that's really comforting. So with that knowledge, we want to be able to give our consumers more of what they already love, but in a very unique way. So how do we do that? And then, you know, once we have an idea of what we want to create, it becomes a whole mood board, really extensive, like both image-wise and word-wise. We deliver all of that to our perfumers as a brief, and then they come back to us with mods, which look like, you know, which look like this. And, and we get like 20 of these guys.
Wow.
And yeah. And then I, you know, my process is really elementary. I'll get this huge box of mods based on the briefs that we had delivered. And I will take like one big sniff of each one and put them in yes or no piles. Just like as a very gut and instinct, not even looking at the names or which brief that they were meant for. And then I'll start to edit and distill from there.
And are you editing the scents as well? Once you go back to the yes pile, are you saying like, can we turn this up?
Or, okay. Exactly. So once, you know, I'll go back to the yes pile, create another yes or no pile and do that a couple more times until I'm left with like a manageable number of mods. And sometimes that means that, you know, because I'm not really looking at the fragrance names or which brief they're tied to, sometimes that means it doesn't make it. So we have to go back to the drawing board for that particular brief. And then once I land on like the very favorite mod or two, we'll go back to the perfumers with feedback and say, can you make this element a little bit stronger? Can you take some of this out? And we'll go on and on from there. And sometimes, you know, it just hits like the kind of like the first round of mods, we find a scent that is just like amazing and it's translated from the brief so perfectly. And sometimes we're doing this process for 8 months. So it kind of depends.
Do you have any favorite perfumers you work with?
Oh my God, so many of them. Celine Burrell has made a lot of our candle fragrances. Laurent de Gournay is just amazing. I think that he has such a good nose. Like we can describe something I think he's probably the most adept at, you can describe something to him and he just gets it. Like, I've never really seen anything like it. And he'll just turn in something that you're like, Jesus, that's exactly what was in my brain. So I think that he has a huge talent for that. Pascal de Garon, he did several of our launch perfumes, and he is also such a huge talent. He also has this, like, really, which not all perfumers have, he also has this way of articulating the intent behind his creations that's just like, it blows your mind when you listen to him speak about it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I think, like, being a creative and doing whatever your deliverable was, having that, I hate this word, but like showmanship of being able to sell your idea in before, yes. you know, you actually show what you worked on is so important. And I've learned that so much over the last 2 years. It's like such a big part of the job that like isn't, but is, you know?
Yeah. How does that translate to what you do?
Oh, that's a great question. So I'm a copywriter and I do a lot of, shit on the side for fragrance and beauty brands. But my full-time gig is at Equinox, and on the creative team, you know, we'll get briefed and I will have to come up with either it's a, you know, a class or a program name or a description or anything like that, really. And, and before you present to not so much creative, but the larger team, it's very much like, here's where we started. Here's our references. Here's our approach. Here's what we wrote, you know, and it's a lot of like, kind of like, I think setting the scene and pulling them into your universe of like what you're trying to do is just as important as the work that you did. And it usually helps get it approved more.
Totally. It's so true. Yeah. That's a really good example. I think that that's hard for a lot of creatives because it's a different part of the brain that you have to activate. It's much more of a left brain process than it is a right brain process. Yeah. So.
And coming from editorial too, where it was just like usually like, okay, hit submit, like edit this, please. You know, having to like set it up and, you know, in front of an audience basically of people who you need to, it's like an audition, you know?
Yes.
So we've talked a lot about candles, but we understand that you are going into a new category. And if all goes as planned, this episode and your launch should happen on the same day. So do you want to tell us about your fine fragrances?
Yes. So we've been developing our collection of fine fragrances for almost the entire length that the brand has been alive. Oh, wow. So I would say about a year and a half, a year and 8 months or so. So it's been a very, very, very long process. I had no idea everything that goes into developing a line of perfumes before this. So I have a lot of respect and appreciation for anyone who's done this before. Yeah, so we're launching with five different fragrances in 50 ml, 10 ml, and Discovery set. We're launching at Sephora. We have an exclusive with them for 3 years, and they've been an amazing partner to us as well. So they got in the kitchen with us with this fragrance line almost at the beginning. You know, we've been talking to them about entering Sephora, I would say like 3 to 6 months after the brand launched. And at first, you know, they wanted to, or they expressed interest in carrying our candles. And upon hearing about our plans for launching a fine fragrance line down the line, they were excited about a potential exclusive with them. And their merchant team, I don't know how much you guys know about Sephora, but it's like a retailer like no other. It's crazy like how informed and involved they are with each and every single one of their brands. They really are true brand partners. So the fact that, you know, their merchant team has been so involved with us since a year and a half ago, that's so long since we're actually going to launch with them, has been so incredible. And I think it's really one of the parts about why Sephora is so successful as a company. They're really just invested in their brands and making sure their brands are doing all of the right things in order to be successful in their doors. So, you know, we had our merchant team really involved with us since the beginning, which has been super, super helpful. The juices are so good. I'm really excited for everyone to smell them. We're launching with five. So this is our Discovery set. And, you know, La Forêt is like our woodsy moment. Rose Parade is this like super bright, youthful, preppy rose. I was really inspired by this like vision of like an Ivy League campus in September with like old ancient stone buildings and rose vines climbing up the walls and like the tennis team in whites like walking across campus, an American lit class in session with the windows open. I kind of created like little worlds in my head for each one. La Forêt, I was imagining this like really modern, like steel and glass house, like smack dab in the middle of the woods and this best-selling dystopian author writing her fifth novel dressed in the row.
I love it.
You know, just like very specific moments and people that I had in mind for each fragrance. Coco Fleur is our solar floral. So, you know, some coconut milk and sandalwood, but also some beautiful orange flower and some bergamot to brighten up the top. That one, I think that you guys will like that one. It has like a mixture of like that sort of like a little bit of the gourmands and the whole like skin scent vibe, but really beautiful florals on top. That one was inspired by a wedding in Mexico City that I went to once where, you know, it was at night and it was in this walled garden. Ooh. And all the guests smelled so good. Just, I think, from being in the sun all day, like they just smelled like sun-kissed skin and a little bit of coconut, and there were flowers everywhere. So I wanted to kind of recreate that. Teibani, I've spoken about, it was inspired by the tea halls in Tokyo. And Opening Night is actually my favorite. It's really like beautiful neroli fragrance that softens into a really gorgeous skin scent.
Mm.
Ooh.
Those sound beautiful.
Yeah. That sounds up my alley. Yeah.
It really does, Sable.
Yeah. I love a skin scent. Tynan is like me about them, but
yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think I appreciate them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not for you, but you appreciate them.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess you sort of led with this a bit, but how would you say that developing a collection of fine fragrances differs from developing a candle scent?
Well, I think intrinsically, home fragrance and personal fragrance are so different. Just because I want to burn something in my home doesn't necessarily mean I want to wear it. Like, I love chai milk, but I would never wear it as a perfume. Same with, I think, Sunday Chess would make a really good perfume, actually. So would Pearl Dust. A lot of our candles would make really good perfumes. But I think with fine fragrance, there's more of a focus on the complexity of it. Like, you want to make sure that the thing that you're creating has different elements and can evolve on someone's skin in a really interesting way throughout the day. And that's much more what I was focused on, as opposed to like, how well does this burn? Does it fill the room? What room in the house would this scent be most appropriate in? Things like that. Whereas with perfumes, I'm much more interested in like the complexity of it, making sure it has a lot of depth and interest and that it sits on the skin really well.
I love that. I'm just like, I really like the Net collection of home fragrances so much that I can't wait to like experience what you bring to the table with fine fragrances. Cause that's always like,
I can't wait.
Cause I'm not, like Sable said, much of a candle guy. I have been getting there, but every time there's a candle brand that I love, I'm like, okay, but make perfume.
That is true. Like, so many times we'll fall in love with a candle scent and we're like, why don't they just make this a perfume? And they're like, that's not how it works. And I'm like, why not?
Well, it's funny too, and I'm sure they have their own reasons, and I don't want to oversimplify it in this way, but when Voicemails launched their fine fragrance collection, they were like, we didn't want to take our candle scents and then just make them into fine fragrances. And then guess what they started doing?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, and it's great. It's certainly working for them. So as long as you can balance it, I think. Sable and I have been talking and noticing lately, probably within the last year, maybe year and a half, the uptick in functional fragrances, meaning, you know, fragrances that have an emotional, and I don't know, Sable, what would you say? Like,
it's like a mental and emotional well-being aspect. And it's a lot of it is like informed by neuroscience.
Right.
To make things that are, you know, evocative of relaxation and all that stuff.
Right. And we've already started to see the uptick. And knowing what we know about what's coming this and next year, we're going to keep seeing more of that at all different price points, which is great. Mm-hmm. And in some of your materials, you say, I'm trying to find it, that your fine fragrances are the world's first collection of fragrances that are scientifically proven to promote mindfulness, confidence, or relaxation. Can you explain just like more about that and maybe how that is measured and proven?
Yeah. So we work with our fragrance house through something they call their Science of Wellness program. They use two methods of testing their fragrances' effects on human emotions. So first, they do a declarative method of testing where they ask people to smell the ingredients in the fragrances, then tell them how the fragrances make them feel. And then they layer in neuroscience with a process where they ask people to smell the fragrances, and then they look at their brain activity. And then they collect all of that data and build it into a database that their AI technology analyzes in order to determine the most accurate benefits. And then our perfumers, their perfumers have access to all of this knowledge that they can then use in order to create formulas with, you know, with real intention.
Mm, I love that. And what do you think that means for the consumer? I mean, do you think that plays into their purchasing habits or like maybe not so much like them at the counter, but like with it on their body? Like, how do you feel like that plays into their experience overall?
Yeah. So, you know, I think as you just said, like, it's interesting, this trend of, you know, fragrance that is functional. I think consumers just kind of expect more from their products these days, and meeting them at this intersection of beauty and wellness just makes sense. Like, you know, we'll always be a luxury product in that we use the absolute best of the best ingredients available on the market. That's really like a cornerstone of the brand. Mm-hmm. We'll never spare any expense in that regard. And we'll also always stay true to like our values of being as transparent as possible, as clean as possible, as sustainable as possible. But it's also important to me to have a purpose outside of just those things, which almost feel like table stakes at this point. You know, I really wanted to provide an offering that could also layer in this element of, you know, this ability to shift energy in a positive way that our community and our consumers can really benefit from throughout the day.
It's exciting. I like you said, I think consumers are beginning to expect more, even from fragrances, which, you know, in the past have been, no pun, but like one note. And now that we can have started to see like more emotional and like mindfulness benefits, I think that's really exciting.
Yeah. And I think the scientific part of it was really important to me, particularly because I agree that, you know, I had seen a few functional fragrances on the market, but it was always a little bit unclear to me what the science behind those functional fragrances was. So, you know, upon sort of doing a little bit of market research around that, I found that a lot of brands were saying that their fragrances were functional because, like, for example, this fragrance smells like the ocean and a day at the beach, and a day at the beach is relaxing. Mm. And I was like, that doesn't sound like totally like there's like a ton of science behind it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's a great concept.
Yeah.
Right.
But I really wanted to have like the data behind it and like the proof behind it, and not just like say this fragrance is relaxing because it'll remind you of like a walk in the woods, or like, you know, like forest bathing is known to be, you know, really healing and beneficial. And we've made this fragrance that smells like the forest. It just doesn't tie to me. So anyway, the common tie that runs across all five of our launch fragrances is that they all promote a strong sense of confidence. And that was really important to me as like a woman, a new mom, an entrepreneur. Mm. Like, I need as much confidence as I can get, you know, through all of the challenges that I come across through being a founder, just being in life, that everyone, you know, that everyone comes across. But then they also have this secondary element that boosts relaxation and mindfulness. So in the end, you get something really promotes like a healthy sense of self and like a quiet confidence that I find to be really helpful to me, at least.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm excited to read the poems on the fragrance.
I'm so happy you brought that through. When I was looking through the brand deck, that was like the one question. I was like, are they going to do it again? I'm really excited. Well, thank you. This has been such an interesting and like enlightening conversation. Yeah. We're both such fans of Net, and we're happy that one, we could get you on the show. So thank you. And two, that we could get you at the launch of the fine fragrances. I feel like this couldn't have worked out better.
I'm so excited. Thank you guys so much. I'm such a huge fan of both of you. So I'm honored to be here, and I'm excited. And thank you so much for having me.
I can't imagine having a baby or launching in Sephora, much less doing both at the same time.
Oh my God.
Like,
mostly
please.
Just like having a baby. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Shout out to her.
Shout out to mothers.
Shout out to mothers everywhere.
Seriously.
It's almost Mother's Day.
Is it? In the UK it is, actually.
Oh, true.
I'm so glad that she said I could use those vessels as a cup, because woo boy, have I.
Sable was literally clapping as she was saying that.
I was like, wait, I can eat out of this? Because I saved them all because I feel bad throwing them away because they're really nice. And I'm like, one day I'll figure out what to put in you. And now I know I can put food in you.
Right, right. No, they are stunning. And from a consumer's perspective, you know, the candles aren't cheap, but knowing that I get a really beautiful dish out of this when all is said and done is incentive to, you know, convert.
I think more candle brands should do that, because if you have a beautiful vessel, like, that's just all the more reason to keep to buy an expensive candle, because you get a jar at the end of it. Who doesn't love a container?
Right. And not, I guess I never really thought about what vessels and components are food safe and what aren't until, I mean, ever, because I don't really burn candles. But also until she said that, I was like, oh, shit. Like, you know, you hear talk about all the, you hear all these brands talking about, you know, sustainability and like you can use this as a planter after. Yeah. But it's like how many of these things are actually functional? Like if I see like one more like little eye cream bottle with one little lily out of it, I'm like, okay, like, can we be serious here, please?
Yeah, like how many friggin' planters, how many cuttings can I get?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I propagate here?
Right.
Jesus, that's I'm like looking at their website right now because I'm like, wait, how much are they?
I want one of those sweatshirts. I want to.
Okay, they're like $78, which is $78, but you can eat out of it.
You can eat out of it and it, you know, you'll get a lot of burn time out of it as well.
You do act, they're pretty hefty. Yeah. Also like,
I'm what? No, I'm just glad that she sort of, because you know that we are very critical of like the clean beauty circus, but I'm glad that she really was able to like say like, here's what it means, here's how we do it, because I was like, fuck, like we're not going to turn this episode into a clean beauty show because that would be hypocritical of our entire catalog. But
I think
it's
good to ask people who own clean brands like what that means though.
Yeah because and the fact that she was able to answer the question, yeah,
because there is no regulation, there's no benchmarks, so it's like, please tell us, and eventually after everybody explains it, we will perhaps have some like satellite of information that we can glean something factual out of. Hopefully.
We'll have like a pie chart.
So it's like, basically it's just like, you can have a baby to these candles. That's what we know. They're safe enough to have a baby too. So it was tested by the founder. You can't get any more like legit than that. It's like, I was pregnant around these candles.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
At least she put her money where her candle is. I don't know. Yeah. But.
Well.
That was nice.
We had a conversation, Sable and I, a few weeks ago about something that adjacent, and I can't really stop thinking about it. I'm like, oh God, it's a ticking clock.
Wait, what was it?
Like the Smelly Later fragrance and how we're going to do it. Yes.
It's like the whole reason that I'm taking a job with this one brand, because they also run an incubator, and I'm like,
oh, right. The wheels do be turning.
The cogs are cogging. Yeah.
Well, if you know someone who can formulate a scent for us and produce it, or if you just want to keep up with us, you can hit our website at smellylater.live and follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3.
And that's Sable Tooth Tigra.
And I am at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.